Welcome back, besties! Okay, friends, we're here again. I'm on such a good streak. I'm so proud of myself. I don't care if you're not proud of me, because I'm proud of me. And that's what's important. I just realized I never told my therapist that I brought the podcast back. And that was something that we talked about. I need to remember to tell Janine that the podcast is back. She won't listen to it because she's got really strong boundaries, but she'll be proud of me anyway. Don't forget to rate and review, because you love me, and I love you, and that's how a relationship works, right? I don't know if y'all listened to the last episode. It was my first guest ever. I hope you liked it. I really enjoyed recording it. Corey is one of my closest friends, and so, like, she was an obvious choice for my first guest. Also, like, she lives close to me, so I could just, like, kind of drive down and be like, hey, let me see your horse and all of your animals, and let's yap into microphones for an hour. And it was great. I apologize for the audio issues, because, like, I only have one microphone, and it's, like, not great, and I'm just used to, like, recording in my little cave that is my bedroom. So it, like, wasn't super great. It wasn't awful, but it wasn't great either. So if you listen to me and Corey scream into microphones for an hour, thank you for doing that. I appreciate it. I had so much fun doing it. I think Corey had a lot of fun doing it. Once I released the episode, we were both like, oh, we didn't think about the fact that, like, new and different people are going to be perceiving us in this way. You know, I was just like, oh my god, I have a podcast. I get guests on so that, like, new people will hear me. And then I was like, oh, now new people are hearing me. And that's something that I didn't think about. But it's fine. So if you're new to the podcast, thanks for joining. Sorry in advance. Corey's not here all the time. I'm sure you wish it was her instead of me, but you're stuck with me. I'm sure Corey will be back on because we have so much to talk about all of the time. That's just what we do all the time, is talk. Mostly about dogs. Also about other things. But we are both dog trainers, so we both have a lot to talk about, and Corey's really educated, and where I mostly go off of vibes, Corey does, like, actual research. So Corey's, like, a great guest to have on the show because she knows her shit. And I'm just kind of like, I just know these things because I know them. And Corey's like, no, I read, like, 15 research studies, so I actually know what I'm talking about. So she's a good balance for me. Anyway, I was just really excited because it's been a goal of mine to have guests on the show for a really long time. And I'm glad that I finally get to do it. So yay, I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And of course it was, like, an hour fucking long because Corey and I can't shut up. But I think it's good to have, you know, a little sprinkle, a little extra dosage of me and a friend. I don't know, because usually these are, like, 20-30 minutes. So now you just get, like, an extra bit of me. Anyway, I'm rambling. Let's talk about coffee. So today, I'm drinking the Peet's 2023 Holiday Blend. Which, listen, I know it's the end of February. I technically drank this in January, okay? I'm behind in my coffee reviewing, but I got this from a client of mine for Christmas. Zoe, she's a Yellow Lab who I've been walking / training for, God, I don't even know, like 4 years. She's in my packs. If you follow my Instagram, you know. She's wonderful. Anyway, Zoe and her family got it for me for Christmas, and did I cry when I saw it? Yes. Because although it's just a pound of coffee, and, you know, it just means that they know me well, and they knew that I would enjoy a pound of coffee, and Zoe's mom also knew that I was bringing the podcast back, so I don't know if she knew that I was going to review this coffee on the podcast, but I am, so thank you so much, Shannon, for getting me coffee, and the rest of your family, but I know it was you, because you're a mom, and that's what moms do. So thank you so much, it was really good. since it was the 2023 holiday blend, you probably can't get it anymore, but, like, if I do Google it, you can get it on, like, eBay and Amazon, which, I don't know. It seems a little, like, extreme. Like, I guess, I don't know. Like, just get a different Pete's blend. Like, I know that it's, like, what's, like, exclusive. Obviously, it was just, like, the holiday blend for 2023 and the holidays are over, right? It's just coffee. It's not that serious. But anyway, it was really good. I really enjoyed it. It has notes of brown sugar and chocolate, which are, like, two of my favorite things. So we love that. We love coffee. It was delicious. It meant even more to me because a very loyal and long-term client of mine gifted it to me. And it was meaningful. And that just made me love it even more. So thank you so much to Zoe and her family for gifting me coffee. Because that is the greatest gift in the world. Other than loving me and trusting me so much to take care of your dog for all these years, because that's also gonna make me cry. Well, speaking of dogs, let's just get right into the topic so that I don't cry about the fact that I've been working with Zoe for most of her life, because that will send me into a tailspin of emotions that I'm not ready to handle right now. So today we're gonna kind of be talking about, I don't know, mental health, how it affects your dog. Are you responsible for, like, your dog's bad behavior? I don't know. It's kind of bordering on another discussion about, like, dog owner shaming. Which, if you've been around, like, any significant amount of time, you know I'm, like, really passionate about. It really drives me insane to see dog owners being shamed. I did do it a little bit in the muzzle episode, okay? But it was necessary. Because the dogs were suffering because of it. I'm not proud of that, but it needed to be said, okay? Also, I wouldn't necessarily quantify that as dog owner shaming rather than just, like, kind of, like, a call out of, like, mistreatment and, like, improper handling. It still wasn't great. I probably could have been nicer about it, okay? And I'm very well aware and have also called myself out on my own podcast about being a hypocrite. So, trust me, I'm very self-aware about who I am as a person. Okay? I don't need anybody to tell me. But anyway, I'm getting off topic. What a fucking surprise. So, there's a bunch of different things that I kind of want to discuss here. One of the things that I hate when I see this, like, I'll get an email or I'll get a text from someone and it'll be like, hey, like, we're seeing, like, X, Y, and Z issues. Like, whatever the issues are, like, maybe my dog's reactive or maybe they're just, like, they get overexcited or, like, whatever the fuck it is. Like, it could be so minuscule and, like, really not a big deal, but there'll be, like, a line in the email that'll be like, we know it's because of us. We know that we are the issue. Whatever. There's always the line that, to me, indicates that either a trainer or, like, somebody specifically said to them, you're the problem here, or they just, like, keep seeing it online and they're like, we must be the problem. And so here's what I want, like, owners to, like, pause and think for a second. You are living with a creature with their own brain, with their own, like, whims and desires and motivations, with a creature that you don't speak the same language as, and you almost never will. And here is the other part. You are not an expert in dogs, in dog body language, in dog behavior, in whatever. If you're going to the vet, you don't have the, you're not the expert in dog medicine, in anything. This is not exclusive to just, like, dog behavior and dog training. I see this, and I'm gonna get into a story about, like, seeing this at a vet's office as well. This is not just exclusive to the dog training industry. This is in every facet of dog ownership, right? I see this all the time. Oh, it's my fault. So, one, don't beat yourself up for not knowing every single thing that an expert knows. Just because you don't have the time to educate yourself as fully as we do. It's my literal job. Yes, you should educate yourself as much as you can about your dog. But if your dog has never had these problems that, like, I'm seeing with all of my clients, Why would you educate yourself on a problem that you're not having with your dog? There can be some accountability taken of, oh my god, maybe, like, I am the cause of this. But I see it going, like, too far to an extreme. Where it's like, my dog's an asshole solely because of me, because I'm an incompetent dog owner, because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, because my energy is off balance, because I'm an idiot. Like, whatever excuse that you're telling yourself for being an awful person, and that's why your dog's an asshole. So it's kind of like, okay. My therapist and I, wow, I'm just like really talking about Janine today a lot. Jesus fuck. Totally calling her out. It's fine. Anyway, my therapist and I talk about this a lot, and it's something that I've been working on a lot because I do this all the time where I almost take too much accountability. It's like I'll be like having a disagreement with like a friend of mine, or like something will happen with like a family member of mine, and I'm like, well, it's my fault because of X, Y, and Z. And she's like, okay, I'm glad that like you can be self-aware and you can see these things about yourself, but like that doesn't mean that like you get to be mistreated, or that doesn't mean that this is your fault or whatever. Like, glad that you can see where you can improve, but that still doesn't mean that this is your fault. So it's the same thing with these dog owners, and I see these dog owners continually beating themselves up for not knowing better, which is so unfair, because how are you supposed to know any better? Like, and I think it just makes me really sad because it's, you're reaching out to a professional for help, which is a huge step. I think people forget how hard it is to ask for help. So the fact that you're sending me an email, the fact that you're calling me or texting me or whatever, and you're saying, hey, I'm out of my wheelhouse here. I really need help in this area. Something went wrong. I don't know what to do. I need to call in a professional. I think that's fucking huge. And I don't think dog owners get enough credit for reaching out for help and for admitting that they can't do this by themselves. And so to turn around on them and say, well, you caused this. You are the reason that your dog is so fucked up. You are the reason that your dog is behaving this way. You are the reason that blah, blah, blah. Like, whatever the fuck these asshole trainers are saying, it's disgusting to me. And it makes me feel so sad whenever I get an email that's like, hey, my dog is misbehaving. My dog gets really overly excited. My dog is really reactive. And I know it's because of me. It breaks my heart. Because it's like, you just don't know what to do, and you shouldn't. In what world would I expect for you to know what to do unless you're a professional dog trainer? And even if you are a professional dog trainer, you're not going to know everything about every single dog. So it's just gross, and I fucking hate it. I want to never see it again, except, unfortunately, that's not the world that I live in. So I'll continue to see it, and I will continue to advocate for my clients and the people around me. I'm just going to talk about this story because, oh my god. When I tell you, I almost lost my fucking shit. This wasn't even a client of mine. I have a friend who used to train in my area, but moved like closer to the Philly area. So she has a client who lives in my neighborhood, and she called me one day and she was like, hey, I need a really big favor. My client's two dogs just got into a fight. Like, can you just go over there? Like, can you help them? Like, I'm an hour and a half away. Like, I don't know what to do. And I was like, they literally live down the street from me. Like, I'll go over there right now. So I go over. I'm just like, look, like, we have to go to the emergency vet. It was like a weekend. I think it was a Sunday. I don't even remember. But it was a weekend. I was like, we have to go to the emergency vet because they're both covered in blood. I don't know if there's puncture wounds. We just need to make sure that everybody's okay, right? The owners were clearly in distress because they just had to witness their dogs fucking attacking each other, which is not something that's ever happened before in this household. So it was like a brand new thing that they've never seen before. Their kid was at home, and just traumatizing. If you've ever seen two dogs fight, that's traumatizing. If they're your dogs in your home and your kid is home, fucking traumatizing. And her husband wasn't home either. So it was just, like, her kid, and her two giant German shepherds. That's fucking terrifying. And now this, like, random woman is just, like, coming over to, like, save the day. Anyway, so I take one of the dogs, she takes the other, we go to the emergency vet, whatever. We're, because of course it's the emergency vet, we have to wait in the waiting room. It's this whole ordeal. And so she's, like, sobbing, talking to the woman, and she's saying to the woman, oh my God, this is my fault. I was too soft. Like, I was, like, you know, I didn't do the right thing. And, okay. This was probably over a year ago. I could literally go back to that emergency vet and strangle this woman. This receptionist. I don't know what her job title is. Well, she was the one at the front desk. So as this woman is sobbing, can barely catch her breath, is just, like, giving the information to the receptionist so that, like, you know, they can, like, go assess her dogs. She's saying, oh my God, this is my fault. I don't know what to do. And I'm like, hey, don't worry about it. I'm friends with your trainer. I'm also a trainer. We'll help you. Like, it's okay. I'm on the opposite side of the room because I have her other dog and we don't want the dogs to interact. This receptionist goes, yeah, it probably was your fault. Excuse me? Excuse me? And I didn't say anything at the time because I was just, like, in problem-solving mode. I was handling a dog who had just attacked another dog. I had never met any of these dogs before. He was really, like, I knew how my friend trained, so I knew, like, I could manage him okay. And I knew that he wasn't aggressive to people. Like, it was over a resource, like, it was fine. Like, I knew I could manage him, but I was handling too many things at once to tell this receptionist to go fuck herself. But anyway, so the dogs were separated. One was taken to the back. We were keeping the one under control just so that, like, we could manage it a little bit better. So I sat down with the owner. You know, we were just talking, and I was like, look, what that receptionist said to you was not okay. I was like, there may have been things that you could have done differently to prevent this, and maybe there's some form of accountability here that you could take. But under no circumstance is this your fault. You have two creatures. There was a bone hidden under your couch. How would you have fucking known that that was there? And shit happens. You did the best that you could. And also, fuck that receptionist so fucking hard. I hope she loses her job. I hope she's miserable for the rest of her life. Because, like, time and place. Read the room. This poor woman is sobbing. She thinks that her dogs are gonna die. They were fine. Like, it was literally just, like, minor puncture wounds. Like, they were fine. And you have the fucking audacity to sit there and tell her that this is her fault. What kind of fucking power trip are you on to treat somebody like that? What the ever? Oh my, it's still making me so fucking mad and I can't believe it. So, like, overall, the dogs are okay. The people are okay. Her husband was, like, working at their restaurant. So I, like, drove, she was like, please go and, like, pick up food. Like, thank you for sitting with me for, like, 2 fucking hours. Like, whatever. The fucking, I hate this emergency clinic so much because they didn't even clean up the one dog. They just sent him home with antibiotics. They cleaned the one dog. They didn't even clean up the other dog who had blood all over him. Anyway, so when I was leaving, she was like, please go to the restaurant. We'll get you food, like, whatever. So I go to the restaurant and I tell the husband, I'm like, look, you need to know what this receptionist just said to your wife. And I need you to know that none of this is your fault. None of this is her fault. These are just dogs. Like, me and my friend, your old trainer, will help you come up with a plan to, like, reintegrate your dogs. Like, these things just happen sometimes. When you have multiple animals in a house, these things can just fucking happen. And one of the dogs was a rescue, and he was maturing. Like, as dogs age, they just change. So, if you're that receptionist, I fucking hate you, and I hope you're miserable. And I think the biggest problem is that people in the dog space who are professionals forget that dog owners don't know everything that we know. And I think there's some sort of, like, power trip that comes along with knowing all the information that we know and being able to help people in the way that we can help people. And this is especially for dog trainers. Like, there's so much fucking ego in this industry that dog trainers really like to play this game of, like, well, I'm better than you and I know more than you, so therefore you should feel bad about the fact that you don't know as much as me, and because I do so much for dogs and I do so much for dog owners, that everything that I do is right and I am God. It's this really, like, fucked up scenario, and I see it all the time. It's really disheartening because it's like there's so much good that we can do as dog trainers to help dog owners. And every single dog trainer that I have ever met, that I've ever encountered, is fucked in the head. And I say that with so much peace and love. It's very understandable. Like, we're just all mentally unwell. And it makes sense, right? Like, we connect with dogs in a way that at one point we were unable to connect with people. So we build these really strong bonds with dogs, and we become really good with dogs in a way that other people are not. And then we make it our careers. But then some people don't put in the work to connect with people in that same way. And it fucking shows. But all of that, like, insecurity and all of that, like, well, I was gonna say, how do I put this nicely? Nothing I'm saying is nice. But all of that, like, fucked up mental energy is not being worked on. And so that, like, insecurity and whatever is then, like, being fed by this, like, oh my God, I'm actually, like, really good at this. And this, like, ego gets fed, but then the ego is never checked. And so then trainers become assholes because they're like, well, I'm a fucking god. I'm so fucking good at this. You'll never be able to do this like I can. So therefore, I get to treat people like shit. Because they also don't do the work to connect with their clients, the ones that are paying them and allowing them to survive in this industry, right? They don't do that work to connect with people in the way that they can connect with dogs. Now, it's different, but you have to like people in order to be a dog trainer. And if you're a dog trainer and you're out here and saying, I love dogs more than I love people, you're in the wrong industry. Get the fuck out. So I see the correlation and I understand why it's happening. It doesn't mean I have to fucking like it, and I really don't fucking like it. And I think it's disgusting. And when I see trainers on the internet or anywhere, it's not even on the internet, but, you know, you see it most on the internet because it gets a lot of views, just absolutely bashing the shit out of dog owners for doing their best. It's like, it just screams insecurity to me because that's where it comes from. You're insecure and you have a small dick. And this is where we are. So now you're, like, shitting on people who are just trying to do their best. And yeah, great. I hope you feel good about yourself. Because it makes me want to fucking strangle everybody. Except for the dog owners who are just doing their best. And I'm so proud of you. And I hope that you know that. Okay, so that was not a tangent that I was expecting to go off of, but it is clearly something that has been bothering me for a very long time. It just needed to be said. There's another part of this that I want to get into. This is just gonna apparently be a long episode, which is fine, because it's something that's really important and I've been wanting to talk about for a really long time. There's another piece of this that I want to get into, and that's this idea that, like, you can't be, like, or that, like, you have to be wholly healed and, like, a perfect human being in order to have, like, a good relationship with your dog, or in order to have, like, a dog who's, like, well-behaved and, like, balanced. And what I mean by that is that, I don't know, I see a lot of people thinking that, like, they're mental illness or their struggles or their own demons are negatively affecting either their relationship with their dog or is negatively affecting the way that their dog is behaving. And either they're thinking that themselves or a trainer is making them believe that or whatever the correlation is or however this person is thinking that, there's something in the air. There's something in the universe that is telling people that if you are fucked in the head, like aren't we all, that you can't have what you want with your dog. And I'm here to tell you that that's bullshit. Coming from experience, I have talked a lot on this podcast about my own struggles with my own mental health and my PTSD and all of these things. And I'm sure I have said that, like, working on my own shit has only improved my relationship with my dogs and my clients and everything. And, like, of course, because obviously I'm feeling better. So the dogs that I'm working with, especially the ones that I've been working with for years, can see that. And I think just in general, like, because I feel better, my energy's different, and the dogs are responsive to that. And I think that that's wonderful, but I also want you to know that when I was at my lowest, and when I was really fucked up, and when my brain was mush, I still had really good relationship with dogs. I still had really well-behaved dogs. I was still really good at my job when I didn't even know that I had PTSD. I didn't even know that I had trauma. I knew that I was mentally ill, but I didn't know any of these things. And even now, I wouldn't even consider myself healed. I'm never going to be fully healed. Like, I know that there is still trauma inside my body that's, one, unprocessed, because it's a journey and it's going to take me a long time, and that's fine. But I also know that there's still trauma inside of me that is still repressed. And this is, I'm talking a lot about my therapist today. It's fine. This is a conversation that I've had with my therapist about how, like, I am not looking to uncover that trauma, and it is okay if my brain and my body never, like, reveal that to me. This is, like, a very weird, I'm laughing because it's uncomfortable. This is a very weird thing. Like, I didn't know that I had PTSD until 2021, and it was because, and this trauma is, like, from, like, 2011, 2012, so it was shit that was just, like, stored in my body, and I, like, wasn't aware of it until I started having flashbacks, which is, like, would not recommend, but it was, for, like, whatever reason, my brain and my body decided that, like, I was safe enough, and I could handle this kind of information now, and so I am cognizant of the fact that there's still shit stored in my body that I am unaware of. I don't know how to describe it. It's really, like, wooey and weird. And if you don't understand it, you never will, and that's fine. But I know that there's still shit that I have to uncover. I don't have to, but there's still shit to uncover. I don't want to uncover it, and I might never uncover it. And that's fine, but that doesn't mean, because I still have shit stored in my body, that I can't have a good relationship with my dogs, I can't be good at my job, and that I can't have, like, a well-balanced pack and dogs who behave really well. That was a really long-winded explanation, but I just wanted to give everybody something to relate it to, because I've been on both ends of the spectrum. I feel really good about where I am in my own healing journey right now. But I'm also the kind of person that, like, sees a problem and immediately wants to fix it. Not everybody recognizes their trauma. You might never, ever realize if you have trauma. Sorry, I'm just, like, deep in the trauma space, so, like, that's what comes to my mind. Even if you don't have trauma, even if you just have, like, mental illness, or even if you're just, like, feeling like shit, like, whatever it might be, you might not ever recognize that it's there. One. Or two, you might never ever want to face those demons. And if that's your choice, that's fine. I don't want that for you personally, because I think everybody deserves to be happy and to, you know, reprocessing that shit isn't fun. dealing with your emotions is not great. It sucks. It's a lot of work. It's very draining. It's, you know, that's the only way I can describe it, is, and not everybody is prepared to do that. And that's a personal choice, and I'll never take that away from anybody. If that's how you choose to live your life, that's how you choose it, and that is fine. But that doesn't mean, if that's how you choose to live your life, that you can't have a really good relationship with your dog, and that you can't have a well-behaved dog. There has been a really big push recently, or it might not even be recently, I've just been in this space more recently, for owners and trainers to focus a lot more on their own energy and their own shit in order to have better relationships with their dogs and in order to help their dogs with their problems. And I love this. I think it's great. I think it's a more holistic approach to dog training rather than just like command after command and like more like robotic dog training. What I have come across recently is more troubling to me than what I would like, I guess. So it's really hard because I have a lot of friends in this space and I have a lot of people that are doing it right that I really respect, that I look up to, and who treat their clients with respect, who, you know, when people are not able or willing to do certain things within their own lives, respect that, and are still able to help the people that they're working with achieve what they want with their dogs without pushing, you know, without pushing themselves to the point where it, like, gets dangerous. Dangerous might not be the right word that I want to use, but I think that when there's such a heavy focus on, like, the relationship with the dog, which, again, there's no problem with that. We should be focusing on how we are living with our dogs. Sometimes I think trainers are using it as a scapegoat to blame the owners for not doing the work, which I don't like. Because I've seen so many trainers using this as a scapegoat for just, like, not being good at their jobs. Or just, like, not being willing to, like, go out of their comfort zone or to learn new things. Because they're like, well, this has worked for 95% of my dogs and it's not working for this dog. Well, it must be the fucking owner's fault. And I want to be really careful here because, like I said, I have a lot of friends and I have a lot of colleagues who are in this realm of dog training, and I respect the shit out of what they're doing. They're really good at their jobs. They're really good with their clients. They respect the shit out of their clients, and I respect the shit out of them. It's this, like, very small minority of trainers who are fucking it up for everybody else. And I don't like that. I don't like that it kind of gets to this point where it turns into, like, very ableist thinking of, like, well, if you don't work through your own shit, and if you don't do X, Y, and Z, and if you aren't perfect all of the time, then your dog is gonna suffer and it's your fault. So again, we're coming back to the shaming of, well, you're not doing everything in your power to help your dog, which means fighting your own demons and traumatizing yourself in the process, because that can happen when you're working through your own shit, is you can re-traumatize yourself, especially if you have a bad therapist, especially if you're not going to therapy, especially if you're trying to do it by yourself, especially if you're doing it with somebody who isn't licensed. You can get re-traumatized by trying to do this shit. So it's kind of like, if nobody's outright saying this, but they're kind of implying it by saying that, like, if you're not X, Y, and Z of a person, then you can't have an X, Y, Z of a dog. And it's ableist. And I don't like it, because you can be a very fucked up mentally you can be a very mentally fucked up individual and have the world's most perfect fucking dog. You can. And if you're a dog trainer, and if you can't help somebody who is mentally fucked up, like, that's such a weird and gross term, but you guys know what I mean when I say this. If you can't help somebody, at least when they're working with their dogs, like, settle their nervous system, like, get over some of that, like, not get over, but, like, work through some of that shit in their body when they're with their dog and when they're present with their dog, then maybe you're just not good at your job. Like, I think sometimes, like, people have good intentions, but they push it too far. And that's where I get really uncomfortable. Because they're, especially when we're working with behavioral modification cases, and people see their dogs reacting at every single sound and every single sight and everything that moves, there's a lot of, like, built-up shit in our bodies that it's like you head out the door and you're already anxious. Your body gets really stiff. Everything's really intense. And it's like that, there's a lot that has to go into that to get your body to adjust to a new normal, because you're so used to being on guard because you're just like waiting for your dog to react. So there's a lot of work with your dog that has to be done in order to allow your body to settle. So yeah, there's a lot of things that we can do to settle your nervous system while you're working with your dog. But sometimes that comes after the fact. Sometimes that relaxation when you're with your dog doesn't come until after your dog is doing better. I call it this confidence loop, right? Sometimes you kind of have to fake it so that your dog feels, your dog is going to be able to read fake energy, but sometimes for your own sake, you kind of have to fake it. And then once your dog starts doing better, you're going to start feeling better. So that confidence goes in a loop. Like, your dog starts feeling more confident, and then you're like, oh my god, my dog's not freaking out. Then you start feeling more confident. And then your dog starts feeling more confident because they're feeling you be more confident. So it's this really wonderful cycle of you and your dog working together so that you can, you know, so that everybody feels good when you're with each other. And expecting an owner to let all of that go so that they can be the leader that your dog needs, it's unfair, and I think it's unrealistic. And a lot of this is very vague, and I understand that, but I think ultimately, when I see people pushing this really hard, it's the owners that are suffering, but then in turn the dog, because the dog isn't getting the help that they need, because the owner is feeling shut down because they're being shamed for not doing enough. So I just want you to know that if you're not in the headspace where you feel like you can attack your own demons, but you still want to work through things with your dog, you can do that. You can have an amazing relationship with your dog. You can have a really well-balanced dog. You can have a really well-trained and really, really well-behaved dog without working through your own shit. I have had at least now 2 clients tell me at the end of our program that our work with their dog and my openness about my own therapy journey has inspired them to go to therapy, which, holy fucking shit, that makes me want to sob and never stop crying. I think that's amazing, and I think that's wonderful, and I have never expected that ever when I got into dog training. And I think that's just wonderful, and I don't know if these people have ever gone to therapy, but the fact that they have thought about it, I think, is amazing. And that happens a lot. I think people start feeling better about themselves when they see improvement with their dog, and they're like, hey, maybe I could actually do this for myself too. I think that's an amazing goal, but I don't want you to not work with your dog because you think that, one, you don't deserve it, or, like, for, I don't know, whatever other reason there is. You can have a really good dog even if you're a little fucked in the head like I am, you know? And I would like for you to not be as fucked in the head, because you deserve that, and you'll see things improve with your dog when you feel better. But if you're not ready for that, then that's okay too. There's nothing wrong with that. Other than, you know, you're the only one that's suffering here, and I don't want that for you. I don't want that for anybody. So, I'm gonna wrap it up here because it's getting heavier than I expected. But we need to end this fucking dog owner shaming because it pisses me the fuck off. I hate it. I will always encourage people to go to therapy if they think that that's the right move for them. It isn't the right thing for everybody. And there are also a lot of bad therapists out there. I have had therapists, like, gawk at me when I tell them certain things that, like, I have done or I have gone through. I am lucky to have the means to be like, well, fuck you, I'm just gonna go find another therapist. Therapy is not accessible. And doing things like BetterHelp is a scam. Don't do that. But these more accessible options aren't great either. So, you know, therapy isn't accessible. That's that. Dog training also isn't accessible. So, if you have decided that therapy isn't the route for you, or if it's just not something that you can access, that's okay. You can still do wonderful things with your life, and you can still do wonderful things with your dog. And don't let anybody tell you any differently. Peace and love. See you guys in the next one.